When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among our relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Greg, for reading for us. Please do keep that passage open in front of you, somewhere where you can see it and refer to it. There are times in our lives when God teaches us valuable lessons. Now, for many, 2020 has been one of those occasions. As we've battled through the challenges of the coronavirus pandemic, people have talked about reassessing what is really important in life. Many Christians have spoken about learning to trust God more and having a deeper awareness of his presence. And perhaps that's been true for you too. Now, there are times in our lives when God teaches us valuable lessons. And as we turn to Luke's gospel again now, we're reminded that it was one such time for Zechariah. The lesson he's learning is that when God speaks, we should listen. That's our first heading. When God speaks, we should listen. Please look down with me at verse 57. If you've been doing the maths as we've followed the story, you'll have realized that Elizabeth has now reached full term. And we're told, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy." Well, having a baby is normally a time for rejoicing, but this birth is a particularly happy occasion. Elizabeth is well past normal childbearing age. In verse 7, we were told that she and Zechariah were both very old. The Lord had been very good to them indeed, or as it says here, he had shown them great mercy. And being righteous people, they circumcised the boy, a sign of their faithfulness to God. But then a struggle emerges. Verse 59. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Now, traditionally, a child would receive a family name as a way to honor a parent or some other relative. But Elizabeth gives her son the name John, which takes everyone by surprise. The name John means God is gracious. So it's an entirely appropriate name. But nonetheless, it isn't a family name. Well, the neighbours assure that Elizabeth must have made a mistake. So they ask her husband. Verse 52. 62, sorry. Verse 62. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." When the angel Gabriel had first visited Zechariah to tell him that Elizabeth would bear him a son, he couldn't believe what he'd heard. So God had given him a sign. From that moment onwards, he would be unable to speak. And for the next 9 months, he would have to sit quietly and watch in silence as events unfolded. And it would seem that as well as being unable to speak, he was also unable to hear. Now, that's why the neighbours communicate with him by a form of sign language. And since he can't hear, presumably Zechariah hasn't heard Elizabeth's choice of name. So now the neighbours expect him to write something different. Now, they pass him the writing tablet and watch carefully, fully expecting him to spell out a traditional family name. But to their utter amazement, he spells out exactly the same name, John. And then straight away, something else amazing happens. Verse 64. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. The hand of God was apparent to everyone. It was apparent in Elizabeth's miraculous conception. It was apparent in Zechariah's surprising confirmation of the baby's name. It was apparent in the sudden return of Zechariah's speech. It was clear to everyone that God's power was at work. They just didn't know what it meant. Now, what then is this child going to be? They asked. Well, we know exactly who this child will be because Luke's already told us. Now, the lesson here for us lies in considering Zechariah. Now, through God's discipline, he has emerged stronger. In verse 6, we were told that Zechariah was a righteous man. But even righteous men have room to keep growing in faith. There's no room for coasting in the Christian life. We never master it. It doesn't matter how long we've been following Christ or how much we've already been through. There's always more to learn and more room to grow. And when we need it, God disciplines those he loves. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12 say, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." The writer to the Hebrews says the same thing, adding, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." God disciplines those he loves. He causes us to go through things we would much rather avoid. And he does so to deepen our faith and to build our character. We should expect that and welcome it. Zechariah has experienced God's discipline. His long period of silence has given him time to reflect on the things the angel had said to him. And then when he is able to speak again, he doesn't start grumbling and complaining about all that he's been through. Rather, he immediately starts praising God. He's learned a valuable lesson. When God speaks, we should listen. God doesn't give us his promises so that we might question them, but so that we might trust them and build our lives upon them. He doesn't give us roles to play in his great work of salvation for us to graciously decline. Rather, he wants us to know the blessing of being used by him to accomplish his purposes. Zechariah has learned that when God speaks, we should listen. And so, contrary to the expectations of the neighbors gathered around him, and despite significant peer pressure to do otherwise, he obeys the angel Gabriel's instructions and names his child John. If we believe God's promises, we will obey God's commands, even if that means going against the expectations of the culture around us and against pressure from our peers to do otherwise. When God speaks, we should listen. In what ways is God speaking to you at the moment through his word, the Bible? What is he saying to you today? Particularly with Christmas approaching and in the midst of our current circumstances. What promise does he want you to trust? What command does he want you to obey? What role does he want you to play in the outworking of his great plan of salvation? When God speaks, we should listen. That's what Zechariah has learned. And now that he can speak again, the Holy Spirit fills him and gives him a wonderful song to sing. It's a song of salvation. Our next heading, a song of salvation. Please look down again at verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Once again, Luke includes a song that brings the storyline to a halt. And he doesn't want us to miss the significance of the events he's recording for us. But as we read this song, it's understandable if we should find it slightly overwhelming. The sheer number of references to the Old Testament is staggering. Zechariah begins in verse 68 by speaking of God coming to or visiting his people. It's an idea we find throughout the Old Testament of God coming to his people, either in judgment or in blessing. Here, God is coming to bring redemption. It's the language of the Exodus, that great act of redemption when God rescued his people from their slavery in Egypt and formed them into a new community. God was doing the same again. He was bringing about a new rescue. And he was doing it, verse 69, through a horn of salvation from the house of David. In the Old Testament, a horn is often used as a picture of strength, particularly in the Psalms. In other words, a mighty Saviour was coming from the house of David. And this was just as God had promised through his prophets, verse 70. It's the Messiah. This mighty Saviour would rescue God's people from their enemies, verse 71. Fulfilling God's covenant with Abraham, verses 72 and 73. And the purpose of this great rescue is that God's people might be free to serve him without fear, verses 74 and 75. Again, recalling the Exodus, in which God's people were liberated from their oppressors and were free to enjoy God and worship him. Well, this song is telling us that the events of that first Christmas can only be understood in terms of Israel's history. The events that Luke is recording for us, including Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, are a continuation of what God has done in the past. God was bringing the events of Israel's history to a climax. So how would this happen? Well, it's through God's agent of salvation, the one for whom John would prepare the way. In other words, through Jesus. Verse 76. And you, my child, referring to John, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This coming salvation was more than the rescue of the nation Israel from their human enemies, as God had done in the past. God was doing something new, and it would be global in its scope. The rising sun, in verse 78, is a messianic figure who comes from heaven and shines the light of God into the darkness of the world. Through the prophet Isaiah, God had said of him, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Again, through Isaiah, he had said, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Well, this is Jesus, whose light would shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. He is the Messiah who is entering the world stage for the salvation of the human race. Sin and Satan would lead the enemy lines against him, but he would deliver his people from their enemies through the forgiveness of sins, verse 77. He would reconcile them to their God, and through the light of his life and teaching would guide their feet into the paths of peace, verse 79. Well, this is an awesome salvation. And this salvation song contains an overwhelming combination of ideas. God coming to his people, a new Exodus, a mighty Saviour, the fulfillment of the promises to David, God acting on his covenant with Abraham, the forgiveness of sins, a light that shines in the darkness and overcomes the shadow of death. It leaves your head spinning. But I think that's the point. This song isn't trying to convey to us the details of what God was doing on that first Christmas day, but rather the sheer magnitude of what God was doing. This is huge. What God was doing through this coming baby Jesus would extend all that he had done in the past. It would exceed all expectations of what he would do in the future. And it would result in a new community of people reconciled to him through the forgiveness of sins and walking in the light and knowledge that Jesus would bring. Now, this is massive. As we read this song, our heads should be spinning. We should be feeling overwhelmed with wonder and joy and delight. As we come to the end of this opening chapter of Luke's Gospel, we should be in awe of what God was doing that first Christmas. We should be flicking the pages of Luke's Gospel, eager to find out more about this person, Jesus, and all that he had come to do. And if you do that, you'll read how his life and teaching reveal God, how he won forgiveness for sins through his death on the cross, how he defeated death through his resurrection from the grave. And the message is clear. However much you know of Jesus already, get to know him more. And don't just get to know him. Follow him and trust your life fully into his hands. Cling to the one who is the source of light in our dark world, who alone can bring you back into a right relationship with God and lead you in the way of peace and happiness. And if you are already following him, notice again the purpose for which he came. In verse 74, so that you and I might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Christmas is a time to rejoice in the great salvation that Jesus has won for us, and to renew our commitment to serving our great God and Saviour all the days of our lives. What might that mean for you this Christmas? Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to accomplish a new salvation, greater than anything you had done before. Thank you that he came to win forgiveness for sin and to reconcile a people to you. Thank you that we are part of that people through faith in him. This Christmas, please deepen our joy in Jesus. Please help us to walk in the light he brings. And please help us to serve you with joy all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.